You are listening to The Morning Magazine for Monday, October 11th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, it's officially Indigenous Peoples Day across the Front Range. We'll speak to a local woman working to gather aid for the Dene Reservation in the Four Corners region, a region that was hit hard by the pandemic. And we'll hear from the CityCast Denver crew about the kerfluffle around Denver landmark Casa Bonita. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC headlines, and then it's Storytellers of Color with Rosanna Longo-Better. Her guest today will be Rodolfo Romero, a multifaceted artist and music director of Su Teatro in Denver. And as always, on Monday morning, it's Counterspin at 9 a.m., a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. Then at 9:30, it's the Morning Sound Alternative. Stay tuned for 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, a look at local and regional headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
On Friday, challenges to proposed state congressional districts were filed with the Colorado Supreme Court. The Colorado Sun reports that Latino advocacy groups, national democratic organizations, and Colorado Common Cause claim the new map would dilute the influence of Latinos. The objections came as the state high court begins its review of the new districts after a state independent commission drew them for the first time since 2018 when voters approved a constitutional amendment setting up the new process. Supreme Court review and approval is the final step, but the court could send the redistricting proposals back to the commission for revision. A director of a national organization that is representing the League of United Latin American Citizens said that the commission's map falls short of reflecting the growth of the Latino community. An organization associated with the National Democratic Redistricting Committee claims that the new plan dilutes the voting strength of Hispanic residents, particularly in the new 8th district that would extend from the northern Denver suburbs to Greeley. Tomorrow, the court will hear arguments about the redistricting proposal and has until November 1st to either approve it or send it back to the commission. People rallied in Idaho Springs on Saturday morning calling for reforms to the city's police department. Denver 7 reports that the protest comes after a 75-year-old man sued the city claiming officers used excessive force in an incident in May. The man still suffers from injuries he received, according to his daughter. Another man, who is deaf, had his statement read at the protest. He has sued the Idaho Springs department and says in court filings that police attacked him, slammed him to the ground, and tased him after he couldn't hear their commands. One of the officers involved in both incidents has been fired, but the other remains in her job. Health authorities in Colorado expressed their concerns on Friday that the number of new COVID-19 cases across the state is no longer falling, and hospitalizations rose over the past week. Colorado's epidemiologist Rachel Herlihy said that the state's rate of infection had been lower than the national average, but now as cases fall across the country, the state's rate is about the same, 200 infections for every 100,000 people. New cases in Colorado have risen among children aged 12 to 17, but have fallen across most other groups. As of Friday, about 980 people were hospitalized in the state with the virus. More than 80 residents of Colorado have become sick from salmonella connected to a seafood processing company in Denver. Samples of food from Northeast Seafood Products of Denver collected last week were positive for the strain that caused the sickness. So far, 19 people have been hospitalized with the illness. Fish products from the company were sold to Albertsons, Safeway, and Sprouts supermarkets in Colorado, as well as restaurants. A full list of recalled products can be found at the FDA's website. Northeast Seafood Products has temporarily stopped production. Consumers who may have bought recalled fish are advised not to eat any of the products and to throw them out. Last week, Boulder County prosecutors asked the court to dismiss a sexual assault case against a former teacher at a Buddhist meditation center. The Daily Camera reports that the DA's office said in a court document that the victim declined to testify and refused to meet with them due to trauma from the case. The charges had been filed against 72-year-old William Corellis, and the case was set to go to trial today. According to prosecutors, he met an 8-year-old girl through the Shambhala Center in the 1990s when he was her meditation instructor. Later, when she was 13, she claimed that Corellis abused her multiple times when she stayed at his home. She is now in her 30s, and investigators became aware of her case about 3 years ago. Defense Attorney Paul McCormick released a statement Thursday calling Carles an innocent man and said the case was punctuated by numerous lies. The Catholic Cathedral on Colfax Avenue in Denver was vandalized with the graffiti over the weekend. Denver police are investigating tags that were spray-painted. A church spokesman told 9 News they were some of the worst graffiti the staff had seen in decades and included swastikas and the messages that said, "Satan lives here" and "white supremacists." Other churches in the metro area have recently been vandalized, including Sacred Heart of Mary in Boulder. Today's weather will see sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s and an overnight low of 39. Tomorrow, partly sunny with showers likely afternoon and a high near 60. There's a chance of snow in the very early morning on Wednesday with no accumulation. Right now, it's about 45 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU, and KGNU is a listener-supported community radio station. You know what we're doing now. It is the Fun Drive, Fall 2021 Fun Drive, the most important fun drive of the year. And of course, we are here asking for your support once again, 303-449-4885, or you can go online to kgnu.org. And through the magic of technology, the magic of radio, I am joined in what sounds like the same studio by Jamie Sudler. But Jamie, in actuality, is in Denver, and I am in Boulder. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Shannon. It's only about 25 miles that separates us, but in virtual reality, we're right there together.
And doesn't it sound like, I just love that we sound like we're in the same room together, but we're not. KGNU has two physical studios, in addition to towers, repeaters, translators, you know, that you hear us talk about in Netherlands, in LaPorte, in Denver. Well, you are there in the beautiful Buell Media Center in Denver, Colorado. I am here in Boulder, and we are in your ears at KGNU. Yes.
And yeah, I want to stress to people to call 303-449-4885 to donate to KGNU. We strive to bring you important local news stories during the Morning Magazine half hour from 8 to 8:30 every single day. And we so appreciate your continuing support. I'm a volunteer and a proud solar contributor to KGNU. Every single month, an amount of money is taken out of my account, and it makes me feel good not only to get down here early in the morning at about 6 a.m. to get news headlines prepared, but also that contribution to the station. It makes me feel part of a big KGNU community in the Front Range.
And we do have a show goal of $250 for this half hour, something that is doable if you go online, kgnu.org, or give us a call at 303-449-4885. It is an absolutely doable goal, but we need you to help us get there. We do also have a challenge fund grant for new members. Again, I really am so delighted every time that I see somebody is a new member they're coming out of, they're making the jump from passive listener to listener supporter. I can't really tell you how important that is. We have a whole community that sustains us. And won't you be a part of that? Just give us a call, 303-449-4885. It's very quick. It's very easy. And if you don't really like talking on the phone to strangers, you can always go online, kgnu.org. You can even browse the selection of thank you gifts. We have a new t-shirt coming out. We have a water bottle. You can just pick something up and take it home with you. Sport it all around town so that everybody knows that you support your community radio station. Give us a call, 303-449-4885. We want to go to the next story. I do want to thank everybody who has called in. And of course, I want to thank the solar members like Jamie Sudler, who is on the other end of the microphone with me, and Thomas and Susan in Boulder, Maggie and John in Golden. Solar members not only help sustain our local radio, but they are also eligible for an overall drawing. Every fund drive, we have kind of an extra treat on the top for all of our solar members. You're automatically entered into a drawing to win a pair of tickets. This time, it's going to be to the Winter Wondergrass Music Festival in Steamboat Springs, February 25th to the 27th of this next year. But before we jump into this next segment, I just want to give a shout out to Jamie. I mean, recognize the work and effort that you put in every Monday, every Wednesday, and then on Tuesdays as well with H2O Radio, which is a really fabulous short tidbit of dense, digestible news about water issues. You're not going to be on the air with us tomorrow, so just tell us about H2O Radio, because I've gotten some positive feedback about it recently.
Great. And we're so happy that KGNU is broadcasting This Week in Water, which is our weekly newscast about what's going on in the world of the environment, climate change, and especially water, which is so important to the entire West. But now the entire world, as the UN comes out with a report last week saying, you know, it's millions and millions of people are going to be water stressed very soon. So H2O Radio is a labor of love, as is my involvement with KGNU Monday and Wednesday mornings, bringing you the important news you need on a local basis, as the Morning Magazine has been doing for decades. Now, Shannon, you're the direct news director, but previous news directors, Maeve Conran and Joel Edelstein, you know, their labor of love every single day during the week to bring local news that's important to the listeners of KGNU in the Front Range.
And part of the local news we will be bringing to you today, the Diné Reservation, which is a Navajo state spanning 27,000 square miles across the states of Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah, was hit hard early by the pandemic. The local connection is that there is a woman who is an advocate and a spiritualist who is putting together a campaign to help support the tribe. She is taking up a collection right now. She is based in Longmont, and KGNU's Alexis Kenyon spoke with her and brings us this report.
In May of 2020, the Navajo Nation had the highest per capita coronavirus infection rate in the United States. Deaths from the Navajo Nation made up more than 20% of the nation's total. Most of those infections clustered in the Diné tribe. Dr. Maria Michael is a Diné and Indigenous spiritual leader based in Longmont. She says as the pandemic swept through the Diné tribe, they ran out of cemetery space and refrigerators to cool dead bodies. To help support the Diné tribe through the pandemic, Michael created a GoFundMe, which has raised more than $50,000. The money provided everything from PPE to clean drinking water. Now she's working on another fund drive to help the Diné prepare for winter. Michael says, like many Indigenous tribes, most of the Diné don't have access to basic utilities like clean water or electricity.
Diné reservation, 40% of the reservation does not have running water, electricity, or heat. And a significant portion of the Diné reservation also has polluted water. So we created a drive during the pandemic for first to raise money to buy water tanks, 50 IPC water tanks that were 275 gallons each to be placed in different locations in the reservation. This next drive, which is started already, we're focusing on blankets, boots, warm boots, jackets of all sizes. And we need to do weatherization because it gets to be minus 20 on the Diné reservation. That's cold. So we're looking for monies to be donated to the GoFundMe because a lot of the hogans are dirt floors. And the windows are not double-paned windows. And some of them have one cast iron stove. Some of them don't have anything. So it's freezing if you don't have a blanket and you don't have long johns and you don't have enough warm things to keep you warm. And even that's not enough if you don't have heat.
Not having basics like clean water or heat isn't new for a lot of Indigenous tribes. Why are you doing this fund drive now?
We've been running a drive for the Diné Reservation because the Diné Reservation was the worst hit by the pandemic and the first hit by the pandemic. I mean, we could tell you stories of children who lost parents and grandparents during the pandemic, and to be able to bring them things that could put a smile on their face, to let them hold a knapsack and actually think that they have crayons and pencils to play with. I mean, There was one day my sister was delivering boxes out to the remote areas, and she saw 12 children underneath a tree. And she went to approach them, and she asked them what was wrong. And one of the older ones said that their grandmother had died, and that all of them were together because all their parents had also died. And now she was gone, and they were so terrified that someone would find out, someone would split them up, that they'd never see each other again. So that 17-year-old was trying to keep all these kids underneath this tree. And our sister called us and said, we need money. How much money's in GoFundMe? We need food. They need clothes. And so we donated some money, and then we donated some money. Someone on the reservation donated some land, and we donated money for 2x4s, but we said we don't have enough money to build them a house. We don't have it. So there's lots of children who've lost everything. There are some people who've lost 10 and 15 members of their family. How do people get over that kind of loss? But there is spiritual community, and they try. They try to help each other. That's what it's about.
What are people's reactions when you show up with supplies and wanting to help?
It's moving every time we go. People are so grateful. People are so humble. This veteran who's 104 sent me a picture of himself with his down jacket and his vest and, you know, excited that he got long johns and wool socks to keep him warm. I mean, for someone to be that gracious and that excited and not to have those things, and that people have warm clothes, that people have heat. But there's such a level of gratefulness, there's such a level of gratitude, there's such a level of, we're not forgotten. We're not forgotten. There are people out there who care. There's so much privilege, there's so much wealth. And part of this work is just about educating people that these kinds of things are still happening in this country. Nobody talks about it. So we're grateful that KGNU is willing to talk about it, to talk about all these things that are not comfortable to talk about, but it's happening. And so it's about letting people know there are brilliant Indigenous people on all the reservations who have a lot to add and a lot to share. And there are a lot, that don't have even the most meager of necessities to just survive on a daily basis or enough food.
You bring up this idea of feeling forgotten. Do you think that's a feeling a lot of Indigenous communities experience?
Absolutely. And yes, there is very much that feeling that amongst the people on the reservation that they are forgotten on all the reservations. I can't speak for all of them. I haven't been to all of them. But the ones that we know, yes, that's very much a strong feeling. Their spiritual strength is what gets them up every day. And I think that's important. But it's also important to have jobs and money, to buy food, and to be able to buy gas, that there's room for everyone, and that everyone has something to offer. And they are no less important than anyone else, nor should they have any less opportunity than any other child in the United States. Not only on the Diné Reservation, that's our focus right now because it's 28,000 square miles and it's been the most hit by the pandemic, but all the reservations need these opportunities. There are people who really want work, but there has to be work available. They all deserve it. They all should have it as part of their birthright, living here in the United States.
Dr. Maria Michael, thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Alexis, for asking the questions and for getting this out to the people. It's so important that people know that there are people out there who need them and need their help.
To learn more about Dr. Maria Michael's campaign, you can visit her website at drmariamichaels.com or visit our website at kgnu.org. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
And local news, that's what we are bringing to you at KGNU.org. You can go online and pledge your support. We are doing our fundraising, our fall fundraiser, which is something that we do every year. It's the most important fundraiser of the year. We are asking you, the listener, to help support us and what it is that we do, which is inform you of local, regional, national, international information, play great music, that which is going to be coming up on the Morning Sound Alternative. Give us a call, 303-449-4885, or go online to kgnu.org. We have a goal to meet for this program of $250. I would love to be able to thank you on the other side of this segment from CityCast Denver. We have an agreement with CityCast Denver, which is a great podcast coming out of the Mile High City. And this time they took a deep dive into the situation with South Park producers wanting to purchase local landmark Casa Bonita.
It was a couple of days after South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker announced they had signed a contract to buy Casa Bonita. And they said they wanted to make some changes.
So are you guys going to get some dives in today, which is pretty exciting.
They seemed like ideal buyers, back when a South Park takeover felt like a pipe dream. But now that it's real, I'm starting to get worried. What should they change? What should they never touch? What should they take out in the back alley and torch?
And the main rule is, the rule number one, make sure you're having fun at all points in time.
So, what is it really that makes Casa Bonita fun? Well, David Thomas, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Hey, great to be here.
So when I was introduced to you, I met you as the professor of fun. What exactly does that title mean?
It means exactly what you think. I'm a professor. It's a part-time thing for me. I work full-time at DU in administration, but at the University of Colorado Denver, I'm a professor of architecture. I teach about one class a year, but my area of research is fun. And you know, I look at a lot of different parts of fun, but you know, the architecture of fun is really one of the things that's most interesting to me. So when I say I'm the professor of fun, I just mean I'm that guy that writes, teaches, and thinks about fun.
We're going to talk about Casa Bonita.
Yes.
So the South Park guys are buying Casa Bonita, we've learned recently. And I, for one, I know other people may have this worry that they may change some things within it. And I wonder if that will impact the design of what it makes it fun. And so you and I went on this tour last week, and I learned a lot from the tour as well as from you that how Casa Bonita is designed to be fun. So it's not like, I was thinking about other things that people would think it was similar to, like Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just a building with fun stuff in it. Let's talk about the design of Casa Bonita. What makes it fun?
Yeah, boy, that's such an interesting, exciting, and wonderful question. But let me take it back to you real quick, because I think this is an easy way to think about it. When you think about Casa Bonita, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, the waterfall, probably.
The waterfall, right, right. So let's start with the waterfall, right? Now, I always joke with my architecture students, if you want to make a building fun, just put water in it. Because the history of architecture, in a certain sense, is a system that keeps water on the outside, right? I mean, that's what buildings really, they serve several purposes.
Yes.
But keeping water out is big. And any architect or engineer or developer is going to tell you, water is the bane of architecture's existence. So just the fact that there's water in the building already is step one towards, hey, this is weird.
As I said, that is our lovely 30-foot waterfall. We are the only Mexican restaurant in the world that happens to have an indoor cliff diving show. As you can see, the falls over on the right, that one is made for the look. It's a nice sheen wave. And the one on the left actually has a special utility. It's about twice the flow. And that waterfall on the left is actually made to break the surface tension of the water, believe it or not, just in case you belly flop or if you're coming way from the top.
Now, okay, we've all been to the Hilton. We've all seen fountains and waterfalls inside. But when you think about the Casa Bonita waterfall, it's almost as if in that make-believe world, they built the building around the waterfall. I mean, there's just no way around it. It doesn't feel like a fountain. It feels like somehow there was this waterfall in Lakewood, and then they built this building around it. So from a just almost like a psychological perspective, I think the waterfall is super important to the Casa Bonita fun, because everything else spins around the idea that this is impossible. This shouldn't be here. This isn't right. why is there a waterfall in a building? Why is it? And so remember that ambiguity thing I was talking about? Casa Bonita triggers your meaning making constantly because it keeps playing, literally playing with your expectations of what architecture, space, or a restaurant should be.
And that is the CityCast Denver excerpt for this week. We do this every week. On Mondays, we bring you a short excerpt from CityCast Denver, the podcast that comes out Monday through Friday, also from Denver. You can find it online at CityCast Denver and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts if you so choose. We are wrapping up the Morning Magazine for today. Your support makes it possible for KGNU to produce news that connects communities across the Front Range. I would like to encourage new listeners to come on board. It's always so important to be able to know that you are out there listening and what we are doing is important to you and for you to support what's important to you, just like local businesses or, you know, your local news. We are here for you and we survive and thrive thanks to your support and to the support of other Solar members like Delmar in Denver. Thank you, Delmar, and Greg in Longmont. Thank you. You help keep us going. Stay tuned for the BBC News headlines. Special thanks to Jamie Sudler and to Rosanna Longo-Better, to Alexis Kenyon, Dr. Decibel, everybody who helps contribute to the Morning Magazine. And that includes you, listener. Give us a call at 303-499-4885 or go online at kgnu.org.